Good morning and welcome to this third week of the summer cheer series. Thank you very much for coming. This morning we have the graceful to have Rav Willig with us to share some Divrei Torah on Parshas Balak. Thank you, Rav Willig.
It's a pleasure to be joining you this morning. The rabbis have taught us that individuals who thirst for Divrei Torah are compared to fish. But a fish is in the water, and yet when it rains, the fish jumps out of the water to catch a few more drops. So too, Klal Yisrael, as much Torah as they hear, they always jump up to find a few more drops. So, there's an ongoing series all year long, in a more official capacity of Shirim on Sunday mornings. People are, thank God, immersed in it. And now that that program has come to a conclusion, there's still people who are jumping up to catch a few more drops of Divrei Torah that are going to be shared during this month. I'd like to focus on a remarkable interpretation, the origin of which goes back to a shiur I heard a very long time ago from Rav Goldvich, Zichrono Livracha, from Keren B'Yavne. And I'd like to develop it a little bit more. Begins with the first pasuk in the last aliyah in this week's parsha. Bilam says, it's Perek Chav Tes, pasuk Yudalet. Va'ata and now, hineni holech la'ami, I'm going back to my nation. L'cho i'otzcho, let me give you advice. Asher yaseh ha'om azel li'amcho v'yachar yisayom. What this nation will do to you at the end of days. The pasuk on its own is rather straightforward. Our analysis begins with a comment which Rashi makes. L'cho yotzcha. Let me give you advice. Ma l'cho lasos. Bilam is giving a one parting shot to get back at Bnei Yisrael by giving this very insidious advice. Umayo Eitzah, what's the advice? Elokeim shel elu sone zimahu. Kedeisa b'chelek sanhedrin avkuvah. Their God abhors immorality, and therefore the advice that is alluded to in Pasuk Yudalit, here in Perek Chavdalit, is in fact carried out in the very first pasuk of Perek Chaf Hei, Vayeshev Yisrael Vashitim, Vayochel Ha'om Liznos El Benos Moav. This is what we call today entrapment. And Rashi there comments in pasuk Aleph, Liznos El Benos Moav, Ayadei Atzas Bilam. This is exactly the Eitzah of Bilam. Bilam suggests the way to undo the people of Israel is to entrap them in immorality. And if you do so, God will become angry, he hates it, and they will suffer. He was right. What's the very last pasuk in the parasha? Vayu ha-mesem v'magefa, arbo v'estrim olav, 24,000 perished because of this terrible plague which was brought about by the immorality of the people of Israel. Good. Ladies and gentlemen, we live in a world that everything is up front. We don't have to hide anything anymore. Everything is out front and center. Do you think that this idea was something that was not, you needed to build up the thing of this? You read about it in the newspapers, about the various goings-on in the CIA, the whole lead cover story about the women in the CIA were being discriminated against as opposed to the men in the CIA, all based on what they were doing. In this kind of a context of Liznos, of Benos Moav, etc., etc. This is old as the hills. You want to entrap somebody, you find some women, and you entrap them. So we've had enemies for a long time. The people of Israel have had enemies for a very long time. It took Bilam, the genius, to figure out how to try to undo Bnei Yisrael. More than that, the very first word of the pasuk is striking. Va'ata, and now. And now that I'm leaving, I'll give you a piece of advice. Who needs v'ata? What's the word doing there? But to answer this question, the late Reb Chaim Yaakov Goldberg Zatzal, Rosh Hashiva of Karen B'Yavne, developed the following remarkable thesis, which I want to share with you this one. He was wondering, why is it that this time in particular seemed to have been a point of weakness for Am Yisrael? Am Yisrael could be trapped in this terrible sin of immorality now, whereas it never happened before, and perhaps never happened again on this scale. And he explained, based on a remarkable word of the rabbis, or also in this week's parsha, we know that Bilam is brought to curse the people of Israel. This is his specialty. He knows how to curse. If you take a look in Rashi, in Perek Chav Gimel, Pasuk Ches, Bilam's first attempt to curse the people of Israel, here's a problem. He says, Mo ekov lo kabo keil, u'mo'ezom lo zo'am Hashem. How can I curse them when God is not cursing them and not becoming angry? So Rashi explains, Lo zo'am Hashem. Ani ein kochi elosh ani yodea lechavin asho shakodesh baruch hu koeis bo. Bilam's entire ability was that he knew the exact split second, the exact moment that God became angry. And at that moment, he would curse them. And at that moment, the curse would be effective. Interesting, those who remember the Tosfos Masechta Brachos, when the Gemara is quoted, asks the question. If God is angry for one split second, what could Bilam have said already in that one split second? 1 second? What? How much can you say in 1 second? The Tosfos gives two answers. The first answer is Kalein. Kill him. Kill him. God knows what he meant. Kill him. Okay. So that all it takes is 1 second. Kill him. Second Tosfos answer is an interesting answer. They say, well, once he would have begun to curse them at the moment that God was angry, even if he would continue to curse them subsequently, it would be effective. And there are some poskim, believe it or not, who quote this as a source. If you begin davening before the sun sets, you can continue beyond. As long as you start. That's a remarkable source. That didn't maybe true for other reasons. The Gaonim talk about it. Okay, fine. So why couldn't Bilam curse the people of Israel if God gets angry? Says Rashi, V'hulo koas kol hayomim halalu shebosi elecha. All the days that I came to try to curse the people of Israel, God did not get angry. V'zeo shenema, this is what it says in the Pasuk in the Haftorah, Amiz chono mayot, etc. Umanos ono oso Bilam, etc. Leman das tzitkos Hashem. And all those days that Bilam came to curse us, Hashem did not get angry even for a split second. Now, the Gemara, in describing the fact that God gets angry every day, quotes a pasuk. The pasuk says, "Kael zoem b'chol yom." God gets angry every day. Okay, but these days are the exceptions to the rule. As far as we know, since the time of creation, these are the only exceptions to the rule of Kael zoem b'chol yom, that God gets angry every day. And the necessity here was that he had this Bilam Harosha. He knew when the split second was. That was his strength. And if God would get angry that day, he would curse us and it would be the end of us. So therefore, the man died, Tzidkos Hashem, he made exceptions for those days and those days only that he didn't get angry. Okay. That's the Gemara. Rashi quotes it in the Chumash on this week's parsha. Let me ask you a question. Is anger a good thing or a bad thing? Come on. Don't be so quiet. Is it good or bad? Bad. It's bad. We know anger is bad. So if anger is bad, so a little bit of a bad thing is good? Why v'kel zon v'kol yom? Why did Hashem get angry? Because it gets angry every single day. Why? It would be much better if it didn't get angry at all. Okay. So let's analyze this very carefully. It is true that anger is a bad thing. However, the world was created with conflicting forces. There are conflicting forces in the world. There are forces, we'll call it forces of kindness, and there are forces of anger. And while kindness is good and anger is bad, even kindness, if it is completely and absolutely unchecked, with no sense of balance, can lead to an absolute disaster. What's the Hebrew word for kindness? Chesed. Some of you may be familiar with the pasuk. Again, those who have the Chumash and Rashi in front of them can go take a step back and look way back, not in Sefer Bamidbar, not in Sefer Bamidbar, in Sefer Vayik. Oh, very good. Very good. When the Torah speaks about an unfortunate violation of an incestuous relationship between a person and his sister, Torah tells us that that's a terrible, terrible thing. It's in Pasuk Perek Chof, Pasuk Yudzayin Vayikra. If this happens between them, Chesed Hu. Oh boy. So Rashi's commented, what's Chesed? This is Chesed. So Rashi says it's an Aramaic, a Cherpos, a Chasuda, or Olam Chesed Yibane, that this Kayan had to marry his sister. But what does it mean, Chesed Hu? The explanation goes as follows. Chesed doesn't just mean kindness. Kindness is, of course, the primary manifestation of the word. But Chesed in general means closeness and giving and expansion and all these themes are Chesed. And we are supposed to do Chesed. We know the world stands on Gemilas Chasadim. Gemilas Chasadim means coming close to other people, expressing love to other people, all these kind of kindnesses. It's all called Gemilas Chesed. That's fine. But Gemilas Chesed has its limits. If someone will take the principle of Chesed in a completely unchecked and unrestrained manner, Chas V'Shalom, he could take it to an extreme and be guilty of an incestual relationship with his own sister. After all, who doesn't love a sister? Whoever loves a sister. If you have to love your sister, we have that's such a close relationship. Yes, but there's a point of saying no. So far, yes, and then beyond that, no. What happened to Chesed? The answer is, Chesed can be corrupted and perverted. Chesed has to have a certain check and balance. Chesed has to have a place where you stop and say no. Unrestrained Chesed can lead Chalila to Gili Arayos. And therefore, we find historically, let's go back to talk about the history of the origins of the people of Israel. Very, very beginning. This much of this is found in Rav Dessler's Sefer, Michtam Elio. Avraham Avinu was the personification of Chesed. Everybody knows, the Pasuk says, Titan Emes to Yaakov, Chesed to Avraham. Chesed, absolute Chesed. Avraham Avinu was blessed with two children. Yitzchak was our progenitor, but there's also this fellow named Yishmael. What was Yishmael's primary weakness? Why, for example, did Yishmael refuse to receive the Torah at Sinai? There's a reason for it. Anybody know what the reason was? The different versions in the Chachamim. But the Arayas. What does it say in the Torah? Hashem says, Lo sinah. Thou shalt not commit adulterous relationships. I can't take this. Can't do this. Because Yishmael had this tremendous Yetzirah for Arayas. And, you know, we can't talk about it publicly because it's not politically correct. But we know it's true. Ad hayom hazeh. Don't let any of those outfits fool you. The level of Gili Arayas by Yishmael is woo. Why? Because Yishmael perverted the chesed of Avraham. Yishmael took the midah of chesed, which was the ultimate midah of his father, Avraham Avinu, and he took it to an extreme without any checks and balances, leading him, unfortunately, to the terrible sin of Gilui Arayos. If you remember the Rashi way back in Mitzachek, one of the Peshatim Pesach Chazal, Mitzachek means Gilui Arayos. That was Yishmael's habit, even from his early years. He took the chesed, and he did no restraint. Let Chalila to Gilui Arayos. Once we're discussing the history of Klal Yisrael, what was Yitzchak? What was Yitzchak's midah? Yitzchak's midah was what? Who knows what Yitzchak's midah is called? Gevura. What does Gevura mean, literally? Strength. Strength. Strength is a wonderful thing. Strength means, you know, you hold yourself in. It's what's called Tzimtzum. What's called Pachad Yitzchak. But strength can also be corrupted. And who corrupted the Yitzchak's midah of strength and took it to an extreme? Who's that?
Esav.
Al-Char B'chatichya. Esav was a murderer. My father's very strong. His father's very strong. He knows how to restrain himself, how to contain himself, and how not to fight back. Yitzchak did not fight back when they filled up his wells. But Esav took the strength to an extreme, completely untempered by any sense of balance, of chesed, which his grandfather Avraham had offered. He became a murderer. So if chesed is perverted, it can lead to arayas. If gevurah is perverted, it can lead to ritzicha. Titen emes liyakov. The greatness of Yaakov is called emes. Or as the Sifrei Kabbalah say, tiferes. What does tiferes mean? Tiferes means a multicolored combination of the midos of father and grandfather. Yaakov Avinu was mitoso shalem, all of his children were righteous, because he represented this unique combination of the midah of his father of Gevurah and the midah of his grandfather Chesed, and it's called Emes. It means you're right on target, straight in the middle. You're not going to the right, not going to the left, straight in the middle. This is the midah of Yaakov Avinu. Let's now get back to our analysis of Parshas Balak. To review, Hashem normally gets angry 1 second every day. No one knew when that second was except for Bilam. The Gemara discusses how we know the roost to it. We're not going into that whole part of the Gemara. But Bilam knew when it was. And Hashem was not able to get angry those days. Why not? Because if he would get angry those days, Bilam would curse him. It would be the end of Am Yisrael. So he didn't get angry. So our question was, why did God get angry even for 1 second a day? Kael Zohan B'chol Yom, why? Better not get angry at all. Wrong. If you don't get angry at all, things get out of whack. Hashem got angry for 1 split second a day. That's all you needed, 1 second. But that second of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's anger was enough to make a perfect balance between HaKadosh Baruch Hu's primary midah of chesed and this flash, if you will, of anger. So that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's calculations, this kept things in place and balance. Absent the infinitesimal split millisecond of anger on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's part, what happens? What happens is the world is awash in chesed. Chesed, which is for those few days, is not counterbalanced by even the slightest bit of gvura of zam of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's anger. Bilam was no fool. Bilam was a very smart man, a very corrupt man, but a very smart man. Our rabbis have taught us that lo kom navi od bi Yisrael ke Moshe. There was no greater navi in Israel as Moshe, but by the goyim there is. Who is it? Bilam. In some ways he was like Moshe Rabbeinu, believe it or not. Believe it or not. And he used his powers for evil. Bilam is thinking to himself, what is going on over here? Whenever I wanted to curse people, I had no problem. Remember, if you read Rashi yesterday's parasha, Bilam was the one whom Balak had used to curse Sichon, and thereby was able to conquer him.
Sichon
got it right. Sichon conquered Moab by hiring Bilam. Right, Amonu Moab Tiru B'Sichon. Thank you. And that's how Balak knew very well that Bilam had great powers. So why didn't it work? He tried once, he tried twice, he tried. You saw that the pesukim, this is until one unsuccessful attempt by Bilam to try to curse us. Tries once, twice, three times. The answer is that Bilam's entire ability was to find a split second of anger and to seize upon it and curse. But when Hashem doesn't get angry at all, Bilam is absolutely powerless. Can't do anything. He tries once, he missed it somehow. The second time, he missed it. After he missed it three times, he realized, Chazaka, it's not going to happen anymore. Hashem is not going to get angry. At this point in time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's anger doesn't exist. Ha! That being the case, he has a parting shot. V'ata! And now that the world has no anger, now that the world is overflowing with chesed, which is unrestrained, unlimited, I know what unrestrained chesed leads to. I learned here. Bilam knew it was in Chumash Vayikra. Chesed who? This is a time to try to entrap Klal Yisrael with the Benos Moav, to entrap them in the sin of immorality. Of course it had been tried before. But Klal Yisrael, but given their great devotion and allegiance to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, was able to withstand these temptations. They could withstand the temptations in a normal world. A normal world in which there is the Yetzer Hara, undoubtedly, no question about it. But you know, if you look carefully in some of the Svarim, they explain that the Yetzer Hara that's created in a man for a woman is fundamentally a good thing. If not for this, the world would stop existing. The Gemara tells them, except the Sanhedrin, that when the Anshe Knesset Gadola eliminated this Yetzer Hara completely, the world stopped. Couldn't find a fresh egg for 3 days, etc. They had to beg to get it back. It's fundamentally, it's a good thing. But if it's unrestrained, as it is in most parts of the world, it could lead to terrible results. We all know what it can lead to. But Klal Yisrael was able, given the balance that existed in the world above, which filtered down to the world below, of Chesed and Gevura, so they were able to utilize the Midah of Gevura to overcome the Chesed, and not be entrapped, not be seduced, not to give in to the various women who try to entrap them over the years. But now Bilam is saying to Balak, I have a great idea. Right now. Now is the time when the world has so much chesed. No anger. For at least three days that I tried, Hashem hasn't gotten angry. And therefore, it's out of balance, out of whack. There's more chesed than there's no gevur. There's no zan. Now is the time, which is especially appropriate, to entrap Bnei Yisrael, and therefore, after now, I'll give you advice. That's what it says. Why then and no other time? Because now is the time, when there was unrestrained and uncontrolled and unchecked chesed, which can lead to chesed to Gilead rights. Okay. A remarkable insight. Now, 24,000 die. More would have died. More would have died. Who remembers, end of the parasha, what stopped the plague? Who and what? Who did it? And what? Huh?
Pinchas.
Bayar Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen. He did what he did. Right? By Yidkar Hashem, he killed two people. Two people who committed a somewhat public act of immorality. Killed them. In Sanhedrin, there were many miracles when he killed them. And if you read the opening pasuk of next week's parasha, Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen, Heshiv es chamosim al b'nei Yisrael, v'kana was kinosi v'socham, v'lo chilisi es b'nei Yisrael b'kinasim. I didn't destroy the people of Israel with my anger because Pinchas stopped. And therefore, himni nosilo as brisi shalom. I give him my covenant of peace. You know, people of Israel had sinned many significant sins. We don't find that they were going to be destroyed. Why was it there was such a tremendous anger that the Kadosh Baruch Hu says, lo chilisi es b'nei Yisrael b'kinasi? I didn't destroy Klal Yisrael in my anger. Ketzef, Rashi explains. Why are the Kodesh Baruch Hu so angry? So angry they would have killed the people of Israel completely for this indiscretion, for this immorality. So perhaps, if we may say so, Kivayachol, obviously all of our analysis of Kodesh Baruch Hu are purely approximations based on a limited human understanding. But we know that we have a concept in the human kingdom, in the human, about human beings, it's called pent-up anger. I'm not justifying it, I'm just describing it. Pent-up anger means that someone is always, but he knows he can't let his anger loose because, you know, he has to be on best behavior when someone's around. He's in front of the boss. The boss is belittling him and is degrading him. And he'd love to just take the boss and go, punch him in the nose, but he'll lose his job. So, he's pent up anger a whole day. So he goes home, and the best thing he's to do is to go into his room and find some kind of punching bag and go, boom, punch the punching bag. And all the pent up anger that he's had for all these hours, he was being ridiculed by his boss, that's by human beings. Okay. Kivayachol, again, it's just an approximation based on unlimited understanding. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows there has to be a Zam B'chol Yom. And that's how the world is programmed. Every day, this small little dose of Zam, which is enough to keep the world balanced. But, all those days, there was no Zam. So all the Zam was sort of stored up. Now that Bilam leaves, goes back to his people, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu is now sort of just around getting back to his Kavayachol, the normal pattern of this much anger every day. But you know what? It's some pent-up anger. Kol Osam Ayom. We know how many. We know it's at least three. We don't know how many days Hashem didn't get angry. He says, Kol Osam Ayomim. So now there's that pent-up anger, and there's somehow in the world above, there's a little bit extra anger running around. So now that Klal Yisrael, in the immediate aftermath of the whole story of Bilam, is unfortunately entrapped precisely because, we explained, of the lack of anger and the overabundance of chesed. It's entrapped with the Bnos Moav. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu was so angry with them, angry because of the terrible sin that they committed, with the additional anger that was quote-unquote pent up for all those days. And this could have led to the complete destruction of Am Yisrael. So how is this corrected? How do you bring back a balance? We need in this world balance. Oh. So let's now analyze who the hero of the parasha is. His name is Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen. And he's referred to that way twice. The beginning of Parsha Pinchas, at the end of Parsha Balak. Vayar Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen. Why are we about to say Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron? Can you imagine? Anyone a Gabbai here in Shul? Any Gabbaim here? What if they ask you to call? What's your name? And it's Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen. Just add that, multiply it seven times, and it will all be Shabaris. If that's no, your father and your grandfather. It's hard enough with your name and your father's name. Also, you have to put your grandfather's name every time. We know Elazar is. We know Elazar has been Aaron HaKohen. What's going on over here? Oh. So perhaps this is the answer. Pinchas, at first glance, committed an act of violence. In today's world, they put him in jail. They make him into a villain. He committed a violent act. And there were those who made fun of Pinchas, as we know, based upon his lineage. We're not going into that whole story now. But it's critical to understand what kanos really means. The kanos kenasi b'sof. We have associated the word kanos with someone who was zealous. Zealous. Notice how just one word, one letter changes. Kina means what? Jealous. And kanos is zealous. And here's the issue. The only time someone could be zealous is if he's not jealous. If he's jealous, he's not zealous. He's just jealous. Therefore, kanos can only exist for someone who acts completely l'shem shamayim. Someone who's close to me told me many, many years ago, he thinks that the last kanoil l'shem shamayim was Pinchas. But absolutely nothing, no personal agenda whatsoever. He did what he did exclusively because he was at cudgels. He was so upset that Hashem's name was desecrated in such a terrible fashion by these two immoral individuals. But the question is, how do we know that? How do we know that? After all, people have their own character traits, and they often will do things based on these character traits. Says the pasuk, Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen. What was Aaron HaKohen's hallmark? Those who know, Pirkei Avos. What was he? What? We just read in Rashi 6 parasha a little bit. Ohev Shalom. Rodev Shalom. Aaron was always a man of Shalom to the extreme. Aaron's sin, according to some, was a serious sin, was the Chet HaEgel, where he, for the sake of peace, perhaps went a little bit too far. Aaron only cared about Shalom. Now, Torah is teaching us twice, Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen was a man of Shalom. Pinchas was a very peaceful person. The grandson of Aaron. That's why the grandfather's name is mentioned over here. Nonetheless, Pinchas understood that an overabundance of Shalom is also no good. There has to be a little piece of kanos to balance it out. And therefore, Pinchas was able to restore the balance, to end the kanoas kinasi, to end lochilises b'nei Yisrael b'kinasi b'kitzbi. Hashem was so upset, so angry, as it were. The way to solve that problem was to take up an individual such as Pinchas, ben Elazar, ben Aaron HaKohen, who was a man of peace, and he restored the balance by having a little bit of anger, a little bit of kanos, which is not jealousy. He wasn't jealous, it's just pure zealous act to restore Kvod Shemayim. So because he did this, he was able to restore balance, and the restoration of the balance led to the end of the terrible anger of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore saved Klal Yisrael. L'chein amar, hinini nosin lo esbrisi shalom. I will now give Pinchas the blessing of shalom. Sounds almost ironic. You kill someone, you get the bris of shalom. Like they gave Arafat the Nobel Peace Prize. I mean, that almost sounds, forgive me, but it almost sounds the same thing. There you have Pinchas kill someone, we'll give you the Nobel Peace Prize. Bris Shalom. The answer was yes! Exactly so. If you kill a terrorist, so you deserve a peace prize. I don't want to get political here. But Pinchas restored the balance and made that shlemus, that balance, that's so critical, that's so difficult to achieve. This is what Pinchas was able to do. And therefore he deserved the Brit Shalom. You think about it. Pinchas was given a tremendous test. Here he is, a man of peace. And it's up to him. He's the one. Everyone's just quiet. Chazal say, Rashi quotes part of it. What happened? Go, kulam bepchir, hema bochim pesach. All everyone's crying. Moshe's crying. Aaron's crying. Everyone's crying. Till Pinchas was the one who got up and said, "Kanon pogavo." He told them, "Yeah, crying in the garti. Go ahead and do it." He stood up. He was a man of great heroism, of great initiative. When everyone else was doing nothing, wasn't it a great nisayon for Pinchas, the man of peace, the Ben Elazar, Ben Aaron HaKohen? Yes, it was. He was able to overcome his own personal midah of seeking peace at all costs, to do what had to be done in this difficult circumstance. When you think about it, all of the tests that we are given, the major tests that we face in life, are to go against our normal way of doing things. That's what an Nisayon means. An Nisayon means a test to go against your grain. If a person is, we'll call him an angry person, he's always angry, he's always violent, and he would be around and say, oh, great! I could be violent and get a medal for it. A lot of the mercenary soldiers that way, they'll fight any war. They don't care what's the start. The other side, they're just violent people. That's not Bris Yishon, that's no Nisayon. If you happen to be to luck in and do it in the right case, feel good, you're locked in, but it's not such a meritorious act. You did what your instincts told you to do. Some of the instincts are good, and some of the bad. You picked a good time when you did it. Okay. A Nisayon is when someone breaks a Nidah. When someone has a certain tendency and is able to go against that tendency, that's considered to be a tremendous passing of a challenge of a test. If you go back to the beginning, as we spoke about in the various nisyonos of our avos, we said before the Yitzchak had a midah of gevura, strength. And what's his nisayon? We mentioned before one of them. And here they come, the enemy comes, and they stuff up his well once, and they stuff up his well twice. And a person who has a midah of gevura would be tempted to lash back. No, let it go, let it slide. That's a tremendous nisayon to go against your fundamental nature. Yitzchak passed the nisayon. But the one who's most famous for the nisyonos, I think it was yesterday's parak, if I'm not mistaken. What was the nisyonos of Avraham Avinu? 10 nisyonos? Anybody? Right? Was it yesterday's parak? I think so. No? Whatever. It's somewhere in Pirkei Avos, so you look it up. And it says he had 10 tests, and he passed them all. Fifth. No, what was yesterday? Yesterday was four? I thought it was five. Whatever it may be, it's the Pirkei Avos of now. What were his 10 tests? Doesn't say in the parak. Obviously, Rav Nosson tells us, other sources. Okay, let's just go through the nisyonos of Avraham Avinu. Let's go through them one by one. It's the best we can recall them. Avraham Avinu was a man of chesed, right? What are his tests? According to some sources, the very first test was that Avraham Avinu was put in solitary confinement. For 12 years, I think it says in one of the early sources. Why? Because he broke the idols, and they put him into solitary. They'll break him that way. Now let me tell you, there are some people in the world who love nothing more than solitary confinement. Give them 3 good meals a day. You don't have to deal with people. And maybe they give them some good books to read. Hey, you know, not such a bad life. But here's Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu's whole life was chesed. Chesed is interacting with people, helping people. That was his whole life. And now he can't move. He's stuck in solitary. Didn't break it. The next Nisayon, which is the first according to some authorities, is Lech Lecha Me'artcha Me'olatim Be'savicha. Leave your father, your aging father. Leave him alone. There's some people, I'm sorry to say, who would love nothing more than to leave their father. I'm sorry to say it. Especially if the father's getting older and he's getting crankier. I'm out of here. Not Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu is a man of chesed. He helps total strangers. He would certainly want to help his father as much as possible. So don't leave. Goodbye. Okay. So Avraham Avinu comes to Eretz Yisrael. Okay. So he makes it all the way to Eretz Yisrael. Terrific, things are doing great. Gets there, it's Israel. More tests come. There are numerous tests. We won't go into each and every one of them. But one of them, Hashem says to Avraham Avinu, listen, get rid of Lot. To fight, you have to get rid of Lot. Some people would love to kick the nephew out of the house. You know, that nephew came to stay for a day and stay for a year. You know that nephew? Oh, yeah. I'd love to get him out of here. the nephew came to dinner. You know, you just get, but not Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu was loved even total strangers who weren't related. How much more so loved? No, you have to get rid of him. So that's a nisayon. Then, a few psukim later, there's a war breaks out between the four and the five, and then they come and tell him, you know, Rashi quotes in this week's parasha, that Og Melech HaBoshen tells him that that this same load, the same trumpetic, who was giving you problems before, now he got himself into a pickle and he's taken captive. We have to go fight a war. Some people love to fight wars. Avraham Avinu, the man of Chesed, he hates wars. But what can he do? He has no choice. He has to go by Yakim, by Yudifem, go and make a war, a fight against his grain. Totally against his grain. Another one of his nisyonos. Then he's given a son Yishmael, and his wife Sarah says, "Send him out. Send him out. Send him out. Your own son." I skipped something. Before that comes the Bris Milah. What's the Bris Milah? So we know that he listened to Mamre, Be'elone Mamre, he heard his eights of Mamre. From the first he asked, what? Rashi was eights of Mamre. Hashem, Aaron didn't know, should he follow Hashem's command or not? He's a goy Mamre. Here's the answer. Aaron didn't know, should he do the Bris Milah publicly or privately? He wanted to do it in a completely private manner. No one should know about it. You know why? Because if you do it, if people would know about it, it would stop his Kiruv project. Call it, use a modern word. Avram was a Kiruv machine, more successful than all the today's Kiruv organizations put together. But you know, he did it because he was close with them. Now he makes a physical sign in his body, which, and the purpose of the sign, if you look in the Sefer Chinuch, is to separate the Jews from the non-Jews. So how can I do the Kiruv anymore? Doesn't matter, you have to do it, you have to do it even the way that's going to be found out. But this is also against his grain, the mitzvah of Mila. So all of these nisyonos we said so far, which fit into the 10, going against the grain of Avraham Avinu. And finally, I don't have time to go into all of them, finally, of course, comes the Akedah, the ultimate nisyon of Avraham Avinu. He's the biggest Baal Chesed, he has to take his own son's life. So what do we see from these nisyonos? That a person is tested in this world to go against what is normal, what he normally likes to do. This is exactly how Kadosh Baruch Hu runs his world. Pinchas had this terrible nisayon. He was a man of shalom, a man of peace, a grandson of Aaron HaKohen. And he's told, you have to, wasn't really told, he just sort of on his own realized that he had to kill someone. Wow, the greatness of Pinchas. And that's how you achieve the Brisi Shalom, the balance, comparable to the balance of a Yaakov Avinu, which we spoke about earlier. Do you know that if you go to a Bris, many Moalim, including the Washington Heights Moalim, the first thing they say that comes to a Bris Mila are these Psukim. That's how they start. The first thing out of their mouth, Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen, Ezra. That's how it starts. Why? Can we think about it? Why? You want to read the word bris is found. Bris Yishalom. I can find you the word bris in Parshas Lech Lecha by Bris Mila. You'll tell me Eliyahu HaNavi is here. Pinchas Eliyahu. Right? Before the Kisra. Okay. Okay. It's possible. Perhaps it's a very deep lesson over here. People today, even today, yes, consider Mila to be a barbaric act. Actually, those who want to make it illegal. It is. Take a knife, a little baby. Where's his consent? Where's the informed consent of the baby? He's 8 days old. comes a Merl and says, you think I'm a barbarian? Oh, no. I'm following the footsteps of Pinchas. Pinchas actually killed somebody because that was needed to restore the balance then to because of the terrible thing that was done. All I'm doing is I'm making this small little wound called the Bris Mila. And you know what? If you look in the Rambam and the Mor Nevuchim, who tells you the reason for Bris Mila is precisely to avoid immorality. It's Rambam. Dr. Rambam. There's a tumult about it even in today's literature. The people who are circumcised, where they lose out on some of the world's pleasure that goes on. I'm not going to that whole literature now. But the Rambam said it's true, Dr. Rambam, that the Bris Mila will somehow curb the male desire somewhat. And therefore, just as Pinchas so many years ago was able to bring some balance back into the world by his act, so to every Bris Mila in Klal Yisrael restores that sense of balance. And hopefully will thereby make the baby, who's now a Nemo, one who will live his entire life as a moral, upstanding life, not Chas V'Shalom, be drawn after the Benos Moab or the Chesed Hu, or the act of Yishmael, of which we spoke earlier. When you think about it a little more deeply, perhaps, with this I will conclude, this sense of balance is not merely limited to the Bris Mila in the more local sense, and to the Yetzer Hara of Arayas that we spoke about, but in general, into how one is to raise a child. The Bris Mila is the first formal act that the father has to perform when he has a baby boy. And the rabbis have taught us that his intentions have to be noble and pure from the get-go. The rabbis teach us in the Medrash, Tosfos quotes in the Masechta Chagiga, if a father has an inappropriate thought at the moment of the bris, the day of the bris mila, it could lead to disastrous consequences with respect to the son, in the case of Elisha ben Avuya. I'm not going into the details right now. So how indeed does one raise a child? So you know, like anything else, a balance is necessary. If you look back earlier in Chumash and Parshas Bo at the very end, we find the paradigmatic mitzvah of teaching a child. In Perek Yud-Gimel Pasuk Ches, a very famous Pasuk, V'gadata levincha v'yom ahu lemor. First glance, this small little phrase of five words is internally contradictory. Many of us are familiar with the Rashi a little bit later in Parshas in Sefer Shmos. The Rashi in Parshas Yisro. The Rashi comments on the Pasuk, Perek Yutes Pasuk Gimel, Kol Soma Leves Yaakov Vesage Levnei Yisro. Rashi says, Tomar Loshon Raka for the women, Vetage for the men, Dvarim Koshim Kegidim. Very hard words, harsh words. So you have in the same phrase, V'gadta levincha, bayomahu, lemor. You contradict yourself within the same phrase of five words, the first of the five and the last of the five are contradictory. Either it's hagada, lashon kasha, or it's amira, lashon raka. So the answer is as follows. How do we bring up our children? So I've seen two extremes. I've seen individuals who, based upon the particular part of the world they come from, is a very strict and almost robotic and military precision. It has to be exactly on time and exactly precise. Like I went to which part of the world I come from. Those here may have some kind of idea what I'm talking about. But I found in those circles very strict disciplinarian approach. You don't do the right thing, you face consequences. And it's amazing how you can bring up children so well that way. They're scared for their life. They have to produce. When they come out, you know, in school, they get very good grades in school, of course, because they know if they don't get the good grades, they're going to, I call this the Victorian approach. I don't want to use it, any part of the Am Yisrael. I'm going to call it, I'm not going to be happy about it. I'm going to use the word Victorian approach. Now, the Victorian approach was prevalent in Western Europe, over a century ago. And the people who come from certain parts of that era, of that world, who still are with it today, very strict discipline. You know, some of us read as children some of the of the books describe that era. It's by Dickens, etc. But the fear that was implanted into the young, it was such a pachad moges. And that's the way to train them. You know what? It often works, at least for the moment. But in my view, it's a total disaster as a general principle. For two reasons. One, it stunts the child, gives him the opportunity for growth. You look at Valba's Gevaldige Sefer, Shlomo Valba's Zrio, Binyan, V'chinuch, building and planting. It's a beautiful, beautiful work. You can't be so strict. You gotta give children a chance to grow at their own, do their own thing, to be creative. And two, and even more disastrous, once he gets out of the, from under the thumb of the parents, he does whatever he wants. That's it. I was for X number of years, I couldn't move. He kept me in a straitjacket. Now that I'm out, gee! Rebellion. Rahman al-Islam. We've seen that too. Okay, that's one extreme. There's another extreme that's even worse. That's what I'll call the American system. Do whatever you want. Positive parenting. Never say no. Do whatever you want. Kids just run. What goes on today in the world is unbelievable. It's incredible. They just go. And the parents don't know where their children are, what they're doing. They don't never give them discipline. It's a disaster. It's a disaster which unfortunately existed even within Klal Yisrael. Absolutely. If you never tell your son what are you doing, why you're doing it, the result is a complete and terrible disaster. If you look in the Haftorah, again, I don't have time to go into all the protem now. David HaMelech brought up his children, but that's exactly the word I'm looking for. V'lo atzavo aviv meyamav loma madu akach asisa. He let his kids ride. Oh, he should be so grateful to his father. Adonio should be so grateful. His father gave him a free ride. What did he do? He rebelled against him. No discipline. You look in the Medrash, at the very beginning of Sefer Shmos, Chosef Shifto Sonei Beno Vova Shichra Musar. They say if you don't discipline your children at all, it's a total disaster. They're not going to love you, or they're going to rebel against you. Okay? So we've established, therefore, that neither extreme is good. Raising children just with harsh discipline is no good, and no discipline is even worse. So what are you supposed to do? Balance. If you want to give a title to my shiur today, it's called balance. Balance. And what's the balance? I believe that the balance that we have to establish in raising our children is comparable, kebiyachol, to the balance that Kadosh Baruch Hu has brought into the world. Kael zoem b'chol yom, a split second of anger. The rest of the day, Kadosh Baruch Hu is overflowing with chesed. When you raise your child, you have to have certain red lines. You can't cross this line. Child wants to cross the street. The cars are going. That's what he's doing. You got to give him a pinch. You can't do this. You have to establish certain lines, but at every age-appropriate lines. You can't cross this line. That's only the prerequisite. Those who think that the whole idea of raising children, just drawing lines, that's crazy. That's only the prerequisite. But the main element of raising children is love, affection, warmth. But only after the lines have been established. It's a certain hierarchy. You can't have the child consider himself the equal of the parent. That goes on in America today, some of the psychobabble. We'll go into that. But there has to be a hierarchy. It has to be. There's a pasuk, v'higadeta lebincha. You have to be strong. You know why? Not because that's the end all and the be all. That's just a prerequisite. In order to what? Lamar. Your whole chinuch is lamar with love and with softness and with affection. That's the whole chinuch. But it has to have a prerequisite of the kemiyachol, the equivalent of the kelzom b'chol yom. Hashem is our father, so we have a father. So we have to have a little bit of discipline to start it off. That's the balance. To summarize, we've seen, based on this parasha, the parasha of Balak, describing the Be'atol L'cho Yotzcho, how Bilam was able to give an Eitzah, advice, how to entrap Klal Yisrael at that particular time. Because God didn't get angry for all those days, because had he gotten angry, Bilam would have cursed us and killed us. So because of that, things were off a little bit. It was chesed, which was unchecked by even a scintilla of zav, of anger. We know, going back to the story of Avram and Yitzchak and Yaakov and Yishmael and Esau, that things have to be on a certain balance. If there's no balance, it's a disaster. Too much chesed can lead to arayas. That's why Bilam gave the Eitzah, which was successful at this point in time, to entrap Klal Yisrael with Benos Moav. Who was the one who brought things back? It was Pinchas. Pinchas is the one who was an Ish Shalom, Ben Elazar, Ben Aaron, a Kohen. He went against his nature, did an act which would otherwise be considered violence, was not considered to be an act of tremendous tikkun, and saved the world from being killed by God's kibbutz of pent up anger. Perhaps this is the reason we say this Pesukim at a Bris Mila, to explain why our act of Mila, which according to the Rambam curbs our eyes, is not barbaric, it's rather bringing back a certain balance that a person has to have. And this may be a microcosm or a paradigm for chinuch in general, which requires a similar balance. Let us all be privileged to learn the proper lessons of balance from this week's parsha. And in this chus, may HaKadosh Baruch Hu bless each and every one of us with greasy shalom. Amen v'yamin.
Rav Willig, thank you very much for the wonderful shiur. I also would like to thank the co-sponsors of the shiurim, which include Avraham Mazo and Alan Millman, and also all the volunteers.